the epistle for today, the fourth Sunday in Advent, is taken from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brethren, let a man so account us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Now here it is required in stewards that a man be found trustworthy, but with me it is a very small matter to be judged by you or by man's tribunal. Nay, I do not even judge my own self, for I have nothing on my conscience, but I am not thereby justified, but he who judges me is the Lord. Therefore pass no judgment before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the things hidden in darkness and make manifest the counsels of hearts, and then everyone will have his praise from God. Please stand for the Holy Gospel, which is taken from that of St. Luke. Now, in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was procurator of Judea, and Herod tetrarch of Galilee, and Philip his brother tetrarch of the district of Etruria and Trachonitis, and Lysanias tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of the Lord came to John, the son of Zachary, in the desert. And he went into all the region about the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, the voice of one crying in the desert, make ready the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low. And the crooked ways shall be made straight, and the rough ways smooth. And all mankind shall see the salvation of God. Thus are the words of today's Holy Gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners
now and at the hour of our death. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. There's an ancient custom that's found among the Jewish people whereby the men would wear head coverings for prayer. One rabbi in the Jewish Talmud explains why. He said, quote, the Shekinah is above my head, close quote. Now what's the Shekinah? The Shekinah is the divine presence of God. And the head covering worn by men in the Old Covenant was to remind them of God, the true head of us all, who is above us. And also, for the Jews, the covering on the head of man is a statement that God, their head, their father, is hidden from them. God, the Messiah, has not yet come for them, and you know they believe that he's not yet been revealed. So God is therefore separated from them. You know, Christ has not yet come, as they believe. Okay, so after, however, Christ did come, Christian men have prayed with their heads uncovered because God, the Father, our head, has been revealed in Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians 11:3 says, the head of every man is Christ, and the head of Christ is God. And this is why the priest uncovers his head before the beginning of Mass, during the sacred ceremonies. His head is uncovered when he is performing the sacred liturgy. It's a sign that this is Christ, who is the visible image of the invisible God, revealed to us as he's bringing these sacred mysteries to us. Now, we're approaching Christmas, this time when Christ is about to be revealed anew. And the visible image of the invisible God, as Colossians 1:15 calls our blessed Lord, he's also the God after whom all fatherhood is named, Ephesians 3:15 tells us. So I'd like to reflect for a bit on the importance of fatherhood today. Now, just a notice before we get into this, ladies, I'm going to be addressing this to the men here present, so I don't want you to be throwing this in their face later, kind of thing. Okay, this is between father and the men here, okay, so we'll get started. Well, in 1994, the Swiss carried out a survey on the influence of the parents' church attendance on their children and upon their children's future church attendance. The results were overwhelming. The study found that if the father is irregular in his church attendance, and if the mother is regular in her church attendance, only 3% of the children, when they grow up, will be regular church attenders, and 38% won't even go at all. If the father is non-practicing and the mother is regular in her church attendance, only 2% of the children will be regular worshipers, and over 60% of their children won't go to church at all. Now, when the father is non-practicing and the mother attends church irregularly, the church are only 1/12 as likely to attend church in later years when the roles are reversed. In other words, this is compared to when the father attends church at least irregularly and the mother is not practicing. In short, if the father does not go to church, no matter how faithful his wife's devotions, the statistics are that only one child in 50 would become a regular church goer. So, this reveals something, huh? The one overwhelming critical factor has come up from this survey. The religious practice of the father, above all, determines the future attendance or absence from church of the children, regardless of the practice of the mother. How does this apply to us today? Well, today, and in the last 50 years, the world has seen a phenomenal crisis in fatherhood. There has been a lack of fatherhood in the last 50 years, both in society and in the church, we have to admit, huh? Accompanied also by the feminization of the faith as it's perceived in the last 50 years, it's left us in a crisis. It's left us in a crisis. People have stopped seeing religious practice as a manly thing to do. And it's left us in a crisis. And in fact, it was indeed a manly thing to do. We see in Exodus 24, verse 5, that God chose always the firstborn males to be the priests. When they failed in their duties of manhood as the religious leaders of the family, the priests, then the priesthood was stripped from them and given to the Levites. And it mentions this in Exodus 32, verse 29, that it was because the Levites acted courageously with fortitude, okay, manfully, they were defending the rights of God and driving out the idolaters, that Moses told them, fill up your hands, this day you have ordained yourselves, because they stood up for it in a manly way, defending the rights of God when the firstborn had given in to worshiping the golden calf. So, we are seeing a crisis in fatherhood. We also see this in the sacred scriptures where, you know, the idea that, you know, today, especially where the roles of the priesthood have kind of been granted over, basically taken away from the men in large part in a lot of places. We see a precedent for this in sacred scripture. What happened in sacred scripture? The second book of Maccabees, chapter 6, tells us, it says that women thrust themselves of their own accord into the sanctuary. And it says all Jerusalem was filled with the revelings of the Gentiles. And this was seen by sacred scripture as a punishment for the lack of fatherhood, basically the lack of the priest standing up for what God had given them. Now, how is this affecting vocations? Obviously, we can see this is going to have a result. Now, we don't say, however, that there is a vocations crisis, because that would imply that God's not calling. God's calling, but we can't recognize the call. That's what's happening in our society and in our church today. Fatherhood is being attacked on every level. Now, we know, for example, we know that all sins of impurity, whether alone or with others, also fornication, looking at impure images, contraception, in vitro fertilization, reproductive sterilization, whether homosexual actions are all grave sins. 1 Corinthians 6:9 makes this clear. They're all mortal sins that not only strip us of the grace that is necessary to enter heaven, but these mortal sins strike at the very heart of what it is to be a father. And this is the true decimation that has gone on in our society today. This is the true crisis. Now, I want to present to you a scenario. Okay, if father were to bring a child into the world and then fail to make sure that child receives shelter, clothing, and food, could we say that father is fulfilling his duties as a father. Well, let's take another case. If a father were to bring a child into the world, and then he begins to have, he wants to have a spiritual, provide him spiritually, but if he were to leave it up to the mother to provide spiritual shelter for the child, that is, by letting her watch out for the bad influences, let her keep the bad influences away. Or if the father were to leave it up to the mother to spiritually clothe the child, by letting her be the one to make sure the child is clothed with the grace of the sacraments, making sure, letting her be the one to make sure that he received his first Holy Communion, frequent confession, confirmation, etc. Or if the father were to leave it up to the mother to spiritually feed that child, that is, feed the faith to that child, keep letting her be the one to teach the catechism, letting her be the one to encourage or suggest daily prayers, letting her be the one to say, have you examined your conscience today, and, you know, make an act of contrition before you go to bed, letting her be the one to suggest the daily rosary and spiritual reading. Could we say that he is being a good spiritual father? Is he providing spiritual shelter, food, and clothing, as is his duty as a father? The leading crisis in the church today is a crisis of spiritual fatherhood. Men all the way down and all the way up in the church, okay? Let's not lie. And the fathers of Catholic families have been deadbeat dads in a lot of ways, okay? Not everywhere, certainly not. Like Adam, he has let the serpent come in and take out his wife and children. The result of this is basically a feminization in the concept of the priesthood anymore. Think about how many men out there think it's not manly to be a man of God, to be a man of faith. That is the biggest lie out there. And if you can get that lie out there, there's a victory. There's a victory because it says Christ is the head of the church, and a man is a symbol of Christ in the family. So if the head is not doing what he should, the body will not follow. The woman can be the heart and the body of the family, okay? But if the head is not doing what it should, the rest of the body cannot follow. It's a fundamental principle in nature. In nature, there's this principle that is in nature and in theology, that grace perfects nature. Grace takes what is there in nature and makes it perfect, okay? Sometimes you hear it said grace builds upon nature. Well, we need to have that nature down. We need to have good, manly fathers out there to set the example. Okay, and from that, we can raise up good priests in the church. From that, we can raise up good Catholic fathers out there that will be spiritual leaders in the family, not leave everything up to their wife. The fact that today we do have a feminized concept of the role of spiritual leader of the family, and yes, even among traditional Catholics, is shown when priests get this question. They say, wow, you're called to the priesthood. It's not a grace we deserve, certainly not. But people say, wow, you're called to the priesthood. What did your mother do? There you can see the error. The grace of the priesthood, normally speaking, has more to do with what the father has done in the family. That's where the grace of the priesthood can really take root. You know, it's rather exceptional that God calls up. It's like you can call up sons of Abraham out of the very stones. Well, in the same way, when that nature is not there, when that right order of nature is not there, he can still bring out vocations from all kinds of families, huh? But the natural order of things is when there are good fathers in the natural families, good natural fathers, there will be good spiritual fathers in the church. So if we men are not doing our job as spiritual leaders in the family, we have no right to complain about anything a bishop does if we are not solving the problem at our own level. We have no right to complain if a bishop is not doing what we think he should be doing. If we are not fulfilling our spiritual duties, if we are not teaching the faith to the children, if we are not the ones making sure that they are avoiding bad companions, if we are not the ones teaching the catechism to the children, yes, dads, this has to be our responsibility. This has to be our responsibility. They need to hear it from you. We do teach the catechism here, but they need to hear it from Dad. That is really important. It's really important. It takes root in the soul when they hear it coming from Dad. This leads to what we can do. Okay, now we can consider, how serious is this? Well, considering the effects of fathers on the future religious attendance of their children, which is looked at in the statistics earlier, the failure of fathers to lead the family spiritually and to teach the children good Catholic morals and habits can only be seen as a grave neglect of one's duty as a father. So what do we do about this? Okay, so dads, there's some things we can do. Each week, take an hour to teach the children the catechism yourself. It does not cut it to say, okay, we're going to learn the catechism. Honey, go ahead. No, dads, that does not cut it. You need to do it, okay? You need to do it, dads, and otherwise you're not doing your duties, okay? This has to be done. It's really important. You read the, well, we all have to do this, teach the faith, teach them about the saints, right? Read the children the saints story, yourself, okay? You're the dad. Be the dad, you know? Teach them, feed them the faith, yourself, okay? Other things, eat, work with the family, you know, work with the family, play with the family, okay? Play with the children. Show your daughters that you love them and teach them the traits of a gentleman that they should look for in their future husband. Rough house with your little sons, all right? We don't need to be raising up a bunch of pansies. We need to raise up some manly Catholics out there, okay? So rough house with your sons, all right? You know, teach them by example that being a Catholic is a manly thing. This is God's ordination. This is how God did it. Even when he took the priesthood away from the firstborns, he still left it in the hands of the Levites because he sees that principle, okay? The men are the initiators. They are the providers spiritually. That's how the natural order works. And the supernatural order builds upon that. So, fathers, a couple of questions to ask. Do we ourselves check to see if our children know the catechism? Do we make sure that they're getting to confession on a regular basis? Dads, do we make sure that they're avoiding bad companions? Do we do it? Do we let the children use the internet unsupervised? Do we let our daughters be alone with boyfriends in the house, or vice versa? Do we provide, make sure that our children are getting the sacraments? You know, I would be delighted to get a call from a dad saying, Father, you just had a baby, we haven't baptized. I would be delighted if a dad did that. Dads, we need to do this, okay? We have to take the spiritual headship of the family, and we have to avoid the false replacements. Okay? This world acts on passions, so we have to avoid the false replacements that are out there. For example, as a replacement for proper leadership in the family, do we let things get out of control to the point where we have to explode in anger, and that's how we regain control? Okay? Or do we do the opposite? Do we have proper leadership and don't have to rule governed by that explosion of anger? Do we have the fortitude to sustain the order in the family? Fathers, considering those statistics we saw, if we aren't taking an active role in passing on the faith, we shouldn't expect to see our children in heaven. And in fact, we shouldn't expect to end up there ourselves. This is how serious it is. And fathers, if we're not guarding the garden of our family from spiritual dangers, just like Adam was called to guard the Garden of Eden, we shouldn't be surprised when some strange serpent that maybe we've let in through our television, internet, something else, ends up taking out our wife and children spiritually, just like the serpent did to Eve as a result of the first man's lack of vigilance. One last point. Fathers, we're not only responsible for our children's souls, but husbands are also responsible for their wife's. This is a point of fact. In the Catechism of Council of Trent, it says this, quote, "A father is to keep all his family in order to correct their morals, to see that they faithfully discharge their duties," close quote, all his family. This is your responsibility as the head of the family. You don't wield it like a club. I mean, the power, you don't wield that kind of authority, but we do need to guide our families. Be the initiators. Be the initiators in the faith. This is what we need. We don't need the lack of fatherhood, both, you know, among the faithful and among the clergy. But the solution will come from good, natural fathers. The visible image of the invisible God is about to be revealed again this Christmas. Let us ask this perfect image of God the Father to raise up for us manly and responsible fathers as true spiritual leaders of family. I want to recommend a book to you also. There's a booklet. It's called St. Joseph, Fatherhood and the Family. Tan Books puts it out. I might pick that up. It'd be a worthwhile read for all the dads here. And the Our Lady of the Rosary, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.